Okay, thanks, Vic. Yeah, glad to be here today. And today's guest is Mary, a friend of mine that I know for a while, who's going to talk to us about, to some degree, about physical therapy and hand therapy. Mary, you want to give us a little background on how you got into your type of therapies?
Okay, well, first of all...
Welcome. Sorry to...
Thanks, Tom. First of all, I need to correct you, which I'm sorry to do right off, about occupational therapy. That actually is my title, not physical therapy.
Okay.
It's often mistaken, but that was my work as an occupational therapist.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I have worked in Waldo County for about 25 years. I'm now retired.
Okay.
And I started out in the hospital as a upper extremity rehab specialist.
Okay.
At the time that I started working, there was a lot of interest in repetitive motion injuries. There were the whole phenomenon was getting a lot of recognition.
Can you say, sorry to interrupt, repetitive
motion injuries.
Like somebody doing the same thing and hurting themselves?
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. And resulting in a lot of different tendinitises or muscle fatigues that people are aware of. For example, tennis elbow.
Oh, yeah.
A thing we call de Quer veins, which is another, it involves the muscle on the back of the thumb if you were going to use your hand in a hammering motion.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, carpal tunnel.
That's the one I've heard about most, by far, I think. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. that's right in the same category. And so that would be some of the primary diagnoses that I would see. And we had a doctor at the hospital who was very interested in trying to come up with a protocol that could help resolve those conditions. And we turned out to be pretty successful at it, which was very rewarding. There was some research about stressing tendons a bit and with weightlifting. And if you did that over a period of time, you could get the tendon to replace its cells and...
Really? Tendons replace themselves? I never heard that.
Yes, that very slowly they would, as they were stressed, replace. And the inflammation would slowly go away. So that was very exciting, and I saw quite a few patients that had... that particular issue, along with the other itises that we were mentioning before. One of the interesting things that was that we got to do, and I'm saying we because I was part of a team. It wasn't just me.
Okay.
There was another gal who was very, very good at the same working with the same conditions,
and
we would each see different patients.
And the doctor was part of this, I guess.
And the absolutely. He was very interested in this. He would have to refer patients us.
Okay.
Some patients would go to a doctor and they might not get a referral because the doctor was unaware or just hadn't been exposed to it. But this doctor in particular was very, very interested and had been reading about some good ways to treat it.
Was he part of the hospital, Mary?
He was.
Okay.
So he was an orthopedic surgeon.
Orthopedic surgeon, okay.
So for an example of, we would look at people very globally and had an approach not just when they came in with a condition, but also what were they doing that caused the problem. And I got to go into Stinson's cannery. That was a sardine factory.
Oh, really?
That was down on the waterfront where the Front Street Boatyard is.
Does that
is
still
now.
Exist, Stinson's?
You
What's
know,
the name? I don't know the name. Stinson's?
Stinson's.
Stinson's.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I am not sure. They had a plant down east, and it could be still in the Gouldsboro area, but I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I know there's one down there, but I don't know more than that. Okay.
Yeah. So I got to go in and watch the ladies who were snipping off the heads of the sardines and then packing them into tins.
Yeah.
And trying to determine if there was some way that they might do that job differently so that they wouldn't cause some aggravation. And we were able to just have some things set up slightly differently, have them stand slightly differently.
Oh, really? Just simple like that?
Yes.
A lot of your patients came from here, the thing, or what?
No, not a lot. I wouldn't want to say that, but certain individuals.
Okay.
And I'm just using that as one example. There are many other manufacturing jobs where people would have the same kind of problems. Carpenters.
Yeah, you even mentioned a hammer motion. Yeah.
Yes.
Which you don't have to be professionally employed to use a lot. Yeah.
Right. Okay. We would look at people's office setups. The whole ergonomic approach was very new when I was at the hospital, and so we would go to different businesses and look at how people had their computers set either on a desk or in front of them, see how the mouse was, if they needed a different type of device to use as a mouse.
Okay.
Different kinds of rests for their arms. It turned out that once people were educated and understood what forces would bother them, they could then sort of check themselves and learn how to set themselves up. And
so a lot of it was educating the client or the client to potentially to be?
Exactly.
Sort of? Okay.
Exactly. Huh. And how to manage the particular itis, tendonitis that they had.
Okay.
A lot of people might have splints and they would wear them at night. Then they would not have to wear them perhaps for a few months, and then they would feel that all of a sudden maybe they had overworked their hands. They know at that point, put them back on. So there was a lot of education involved. But it was very interesting to get a little peek into the some of the businesses. Along with that, I also got a peek into some people's lives around here, which was very interesting. Because of the rural nature of our Waldo County, we would have patients come into the clinic that had amputated their fingers with lawnmowers, significant hand injuries from running skill saws across the palms of their hands.
Ouch.
Yeah, cuts from chainsaws, woods operations. So we had a lot of real work-related, occupational or just home maintenance kinds of injuries that were very interesting certainly on the medical side, and quite devastating on the individual side as far as how injured they were.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, so that was always very involving, because not only did we work with them on having their hands heal, but how they're going to be able to use their injured hand to take care of themselves at home, because often there was some impairment from it, missing a bunch of your digits, for example.
This was before they started, I don't know when they started putting fingers back on, but even then, there's a lot. I don't know. I'm getting off course. You keep going. I'm sorry.
Right. That I have to just say, I've never been involved in that kind of operation. I think that's a bigger urban area kind of operation. Ours
replacement of
body parts would be flown out of here.
Okay.
So another part of my working career was working for home health. I was in the hospital for 10 years doing the upper extremity rehab work. And then I went to work for the home health agency. And
can you explain a little bit what home health is? For those who may not be familiar with it, is it a Waldo County? Is it a Maine thing? Is it a government thing?
Well, yeah. It's actually all of those things. Oh. It is a business that is nonprofit, that is a group of nurses, therapists, social workers, and aides.
Okay.
That would go into people's homes once they were requested by a physician.
Okay.
To help people who have just come back from some major trauma. It could be they had surgery and they're just returning home from the hospital. They might have had a stroke. They're just returning home. They could have been in a car accident. They could have a long-term illness so that they've been in their home for quite a while.
Oh.
And this is a big team, a team of...
So people are basically homebound.
Absolutely homebound.
Yeah. Okay.
And my job, I would be part of a team, and it would be to work with basically the home health aides and the physical therapists, and it would be to get people up physically, get them so they could stand up.
Literally on their feet.
On their feet.
Okay.
You know, walk around their room, get their clothes on, be able to take care of themselves as far as, you know, using the bathroom, showering,
okay.
Advancing as they progress to get into their kitchen and be able to get some food, even further run their stoves, even further drive their cars.
Really? Wow.
And we would be with some individuals from a point where they literally could not move to us saying goodbye to them as they drove their car away.
Wow.
So there was...
Can you give us an example of that, like could not move?
Yes, okay. For example, there is a viral disease called Guillain-Barré, which one can contract and it paralyzes your body.
Oh.
And it's...
Slowly or quickly?
Fairly quickly.
Okay.
It's like getting a flu and all of a sudden you wake up and you can't move.
Wow.
And folks are treated very urgently. You know, it's a critical situation in the hospital, but it's treatable.
Okay.
And they go through their course of antibiotics and drugs that
right.
they're given, and then they go home. And when they get home, they're not mobile. They're not functional. They're as though they need to completely rehabilitate all their muscles and their lungs.
Okay.
And so it takes a team of people going in and trying to set up a program that the individual is able to follow, which means you start with baby steps, literally.
Okay. Baby steps, little steps, all right.
And then
can I just interrupt and say, did people have trouble accepting this help in some cases? I'm kind of curious.
Yes. Absolutely. Some people, it was interesting. Some individuals were not interested in it at all, and we were turned away at the door. They didn't like the idea of a stranger being in their home.
Mm-hmm.
They felt it was a government subsidy, which they did not want. They did not want to be taking anything from the government.
Okay.
And it was a matter of pride also for mm-hmm. some other individuals. They felt that they could do this on their own.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the very interesting things is that when I was starting out on this in the late 90s, I was able to work with a group of Mainers, people who were born here, whose parents were born here, who lived life in Maine when it was quite different, when their parents had a cow, when they may have raised shell beans and a pig, and all, you know, the kids went to school, but they came home and helped milk a cow.
Oh, this is a real
so that everybody had, you know, some sources of food. Mm-hmm. Dad didn't necessarily, he wasn't necessarily milking a lot of cows, but he would work in the woods, and they would have a small farming operation that would give them some subsistence type of food.
Okay.
And he'd cut wood.
They may be working outside of the home, or probably not.
Both, absolutely. Okay. If he could get a job outside, he would do that, and then mm-hmm. he would be back home for when the season was gone.
Okay.
So there were a lot of Mainers who had, you know, lived in this area in Waldo County and could talk about women who had gone to the normal school, they call it. That's the teacher's college down in Portland.
Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah, or in mm-hmm. Farmington. And they would go up to the logging camps and be teachers in the logging
really?
Camps when they were young in their
20s.
Wow,
that's a real piece of history.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there would be people with stories that were about Maine that is not the Maine that we see now. And
yeah.
So it was a wonderful opportunity to be able to go in and meet these people and hear about their life and hear about what Maine was like.
Okay. Know. Was this early on in your experience? With or without the hospital?
This was early on in my home health experience, so it was 10 years after I had started, and I had left the clinic in the hospital, and I joined the home health team.
Okay.
It was the hospital's home health team.
Oh.
But I joined their home health team, which is in a different location. It's
mm-hmm.
not based in the hospital.
Okay.
And we took referrals not just from Waldo County, but from all over. We would have people from Maine Medical come home and they would have referrals to home health or
okay.
Eastern Maine, from Mass General.
Uh-huh. So you would go out to the homes, or in some cases they would come to you, depending, I guess?
Always out to the homes.
Oh, you
that,
always
that was
went
the,
out.
That was the essential ingredient,
okay.
yes, that we had to...
That's quite a service.
It's a fantastic service. Maine had a very strong mission to keep people home, to have them be able to stay home so that they didn't have to go to nursing homes,
okay.
so that they could be home, recover, stay with their family.
Okay.
It was a philosophy of cutting costs and getting better care by having the family
wow.
involved.
Was this in the late 80s, early 90s, or
yes.
what? Okay.
Yes, and still goes on.
Okay.
There is in Maine?
Yeah.
Yes, we have a very dynamic home health team still.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's quite a service that people aren't aware of until they need it,
oh.
Luckily. I mean, it's just taking care of.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody got an injury, hopefully their doctor would mention at least, or more than mentioned, recommend this to them or something along those lines?
Absolutely, yes. And our doctors are very supportive of it. I think that for them, it's a critical service that their patients are getting, because they know that they've got these very skilled nurses and therapists
mm-hmm.
in with the patient, watching them and making sure they're taking their meds,
uh-huh.
making sure that they're getting out of bed and getting stronger and
wow.
paying attention to what they need to do to recover.
Yeah, it must be a pretty lonely business trying to recover from something, especially severe things, even minor things. But
yes.
all that ability to get help like that, it must have been rewarding in many ways.
It was terrific. I had a fantastic career. I felt I was very fortunate to do what I did.
Okay. How did you happen to get into this, Mary?
Well, just a little story. My husband and I ran a pottery business.
Okay.
And then he was hired by the Inter-American Development Bank to go to South America.
Okay.
And work down there to do some specific, to make some potteries. One in San Domingo in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, Dominican, uh-huh.
And then later in Paraguay.
Okay.
And so we did that for 2 years. It was just this fabulous experience. And while we were doing that, he was thinking about how we had run our business prior to going down.
Mm-hmm.
And when we returned home to the States, he felt that he did not want to run the business the same way. So he wanted to take a break.
Okay.
And kind of reorganize his thoughts about how he wanted to do his work.
Okay.
And I was part of the business, so when he took that break, I was out of a job. So I thought, what can I do if I'm not going to be making a pottery, and I wasn't going to do it on my own because the nature of our pottery was just too much for me to think about.
Okay.
So I kind of reviewed possible professions that mm-hmm. one could do in rural Maine and, you know, make a living, have a family, and would be interesting, would still be interesting. And
okay.
Being a therapist, the whole family of therapies was interesting to me, that occupational therapy, physical therapy, or speech therapy.
Okay.
And those were all three professions that you could get the education here in the state.
Okay. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Had you had some exposure? Like, I had a sister who was quite sick when she was in her teens. Did you have any exposure to such, you know, therapies earlier in your life, or this just developed later?
It just developed later. I came from a very medical family. My brother's a doctor, and my two sisters were nurse practitioners.
Okay.
And I just felt that I was interested in, I was being very pragmatic. I was interested in the medical field, and I didn't want to commit to the long education of being a doctor.
Yeah, but.
And I wasn't aware of any nurse practitioner programs in that. In the state, so
okay.
I chose this, and it turned out to be a very good fit.
Okay, how much training did you get under this program?
Well, I went to school at for prerequisites at Orono for 2 years.
Okay,
and then I was able to go in for three further years to Biddeford.
Biddeford.
Biddeford at I went. The school is called the University of New England.
Okay.
And it's in Biddeford.
All right.
And I commuted. I went down for the week and came home.
Did you get a stipend, or did you have to do this out of your own pocket?
I had to do this out of my own pocket.
Okay.
Very fortunately, those were days when there were Pell Grants and
Pell Grants. Okay.
And the Stafford loans.
Okay.
And work study programs. I did every single one of those things. And
To put yourself through, or to
yes.
broaden your experience? Or
well, to pay
both?
For college, to pay for the school. And
so
also,
were you getting, sorry to interrupt you, were you getting a degree from this?
I was getting a Bachelor of Science degree.
Okay.
In occupational therapy from the University of New England.
Was this your first Bachelor of Science degree?
Yes, it
okay.
was.
All right.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, so you were, took up a lot of time.
It did, and I took my 2.5-year-old daughter with me.
No way. You did?
I did.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes,
love hearing that.
And I was part of another great program was a federally funded daycare, which they had in Biddeford, which was so great.
Wow.
They were wonderful with her. And so I rented a house and got two roommates, and my daughter and I would leave at 4 o'clock from our house up here
in the morning
in Waldo County on Monday, and we'd drive down and spend the week. And on Friday, school was always out at 3. They just did that, thank goodness. And she and I would come back home to my husband and
wow.
have a great weekend. And then we went back, and I did that for 3 years.
So I guess there were other kids for her to, or somebody that helped with her while you were at school, or
she was in daycare during the day, and then I just made so many arrangements with students.
Oh.
It was a, besides my program, there was a, you know, a liberal arts program, and there were quite a few students at the college. So I would hire babysitters, and I would find one that would help out all year.
Oh, wow.
I had to do, you know, night anatomy
classes.
This is
great. This is as good a story as the actual practicing of it, because who of us doesn't think, you know, we can't do something because of all these obstacles, but you were able to piece something together. Yeah.
Yes, I was very fortunate.
Uh-huh.
It was quite an effort. It was, It was like going to boot camp. In fact, I'm still really good friends with with some of the with a couple of the gals that I went to school with. We were the non-traditional students. We were older students,
oh, yeah.
And we worked so hard, and we called ourselves the Gunners. We got all straight A's and just.
Why the Gunners? Because you were gunning for a grade?
Well, just. We wanted to get everything right, and
not because
there was competition there, but it was fascinating information, and we wanted to make sure we knew it, you know, and
gee.
So it was.
So was this 3 or 4 years or
it was
more?
3 years.
3 years, okay.
3 years.
Very
down
intensive,
there.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot
yes.
of homework and.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. That's as good a story as any. that I've heard. So so you got out of school, Mary, and then what happened?
I went up to Eastern Maine Medical Center. I decided to try to go to the biggest medical center I could just to be exposed to different situations.
Okay.
And Eastern Maine is a very big hospital that services central and all of northern Maine.
Is that in Brewer or
it's
that area?
It's in Bangor.
Bangor, okay.
And it was a terrific place to start. It's a trauma center. They saw amazing, spinal cord injuries and severed limbs and terrible car accidents. And people would come into the rehab department and need so much medical and therapeutic and emotional care that you had to learn a lot just to be on the floor, just to be helping. And so it was a really great place to go to get experience and see things and learn how to work with people that had those injuries.
Wow. So it was part of your training, the emotional possibilities when you were in school, or I'm sure the hands-on experience was invaluable, but was there much did you get much training in that regard? I'm just curious.
Well, occupational therapists, actually, one of the arenas that they work in is psychiatric hospitals.
Okay.
It's one of the biggest arenas. There are a lot of OTs go into psychiatric care.
OT being occupational therapist, okay.
Yes. So we had to take through every year that I was at school, we took many courses in psychology and how to deal with group processing and how people process and all different types of ways of understanding how the brain works and emotionally the trauma it causes when people have breakdowns.
Wow.
And
it's a big area and very powerful too. So that's a lot of great stuff you're learning.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Okay. Some therapists that I know that went into the psychiatric field said that they felt that was the best field because they felt they saw the most reward. They would work on an acute ward, and they felt that patients could come in, get into a program on the ward, and recover from the decompensation that they had gone through by presenting order in their life and some good medications.
What was the term?
Well, they call it decompensating when some individuals have a mental illness and perhaps they've gone off their medications and they quit functioning very well.
I've heard of that.
Or at all. Yeah. You know, they might just want to go to bed and
I feel
not
good,
get
up. I'm not going to take my medication anymore. I've heard that
exactly,
story.
Right. Yeah. And then they find themselves in bed and they're not clean, they're not bathing, they're not answering phone calls, they're not getting out and making contacts with the people they need to make contacts with.
Oh, especially if they're alone. Oh my God.
Yeah, all of that. So the programming that the OT does is to try to get them functioning again, try to help them figure out a system that they can you know, literally once again, get out of bed and get dressed and make contact with their world and get out at, you know. So that's the nature of.
Well, that's a tall order for the patient, but also for you. Gee, that must have been challenging for all parties. Wow. So sometimes you would be going to a ward, but sometimes you'd be going to a home.
I did not choose to go into the psychiatric field, so I did not take a job in that position.
Oh, okay.
So mine was more the physical rehab.
Okay.
The occupational therapy field, people work in the psychiatric field, the physical rehab field, and also with children. That's one of their primary.
Really?
With children. Children who have disabilities or are not meeting their developmental milestones or need some. They need to have advocates to help their, you know, to tell their parents and their schools and everyone how to set things up so that these children can succeed.
Okay.
In their way, and so that's a whole specialty. That is a specialty. It's very rare to be a generalist and do all of those things. Although in some of the small hospitals around, people do. They cover all those bases, but it's more common for people to become a specialist.
Okay. Yes, so why don't you give us a boil it down for us, Mary, what you did after you got out of school. You went to the trauma therapy center, and then how did your career go after that?
All right, so I was up at Eastern Maine for 3 years, and then I decided that I wanted to come down and be more in my own community. I don't normally spend time in Bangor.
Okay.
And my friends and my activities were all centered around Belfast.
Oh, yeah,
or
you're missing
Waldo
your family.
County.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I came to the hospital here.
Okay.
In
Belfast.
Belfast,
okay.
And got a job here. And I worked, as I said earlier, in the hospital for 10 years and worked mainly in the outpatient clinic and did do inpatient care, but primarily with upper extremity rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And then
What was the expression again?
Upper extremity rehab.
Okay.
And then I wanted to see a little more of Waldo County and experience the home health aspect.
Okay.
So I think it was in 2000, I went to the home health agency and became one of their occupational therapists.
A little after 10 years of doing this in a more, clinical area, you went out on the road, so to speak,
Right,
really, but
exactly. Yeah. Really on the road, yes. 100 miles a day, drove all
really?
Over. Oh, yes.
Oh, my.
Drove all over the county and met just wonderful people all over. Waldo and Knox. We covered people in Knox also.
Wow.
And met a variety from, from people who would come for the summer for a few months to people who had been here their whole lives and had three generations, who were born and raised here also.
Okay.
So it's...
Wow, that's a rich experience. So you did that for a while, and I believe you retired relatively recently, but tell me if I'm correct about that.
Yes, I retired in 2013.
2013, okay.
Very fortunate to do that.
Okay, wow. Well, this has been great, Mary. Thanks so much for giving us such a wonderful, complete description of this, and personal, too. Thanks again. Hope you folks out there enjoyed this as much as I did, and we'll... talk later. Thanks.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay.